We're doing a series and we're calling it Koinonia, and Koinonia simply means communion. It means fellowship. It means participation. Glory to God. It means companionship. And our golden text for this series is 1 Corinthians 1:9, where it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see there that we have been called into fellowship, called into knowing him, called to getting acquainted with him. I think when we talk about fellowship, we also need to talk about relationship and fellowship and illustrate what the difference is, both spiritually and naturally. Now, first of all, relationship has to do with your position in Christ Jesus. And that does not fluctuate every day. You are the righteousness of God in Christ this morning, and you will be the righteousness of God in Christ tomorrow morning. You are the accepted in the beloved this morning, and you will be accepted in the beloved tomorrow morning. You are the healed today, and you are the healed tomorrow. You are the prosperous today, and you are the prosperous tomorrow. You are the head today, and you'll be the head tomorrow. Glory to God. You're above today, and you will be above tomorrow. Amen. We've been raised up with him. He gave you the power to become the sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So your status does not fluctuate daily. It's rooted in his covenant and is rooted in his grace. Now let's use the analogy of marriage. How many of you know the moment that you say, I do, you become husband or wife? That's a legal covenant or bond that is established. It doesn't reset every morning. I didn't get up in the morning and look at Brenda and say, I don't feel married today. She didn't look at me and say, I need a new thing. No. No. It's not reset daily. Well, this fellowship with the Lord is ongoing. Your fellowship with your mate should be daily. Closeness. Sharing. How much you enjoy your Heavenly Father by drawing near to him daily. And then also having fellowship with your mate or fellowship with your friends. You know, in marriage, even though you're still a husband or wife, the quality of your relationship depends on how much time you spend together. How much time you spend talking with another, listening and laughing and supporting each other. I want to just say this. Don't get too busy to spend quality time with the one you love. If you said I do, you better still I do. And I do does not mean having a house. I do means having a home. Amen. You know, recently we got really, really busy and we let a few things off and it started affecting our relationship for a couple of days. And so these adjustments are the adjustments that we need to make on a regular basis. Don't get too busy for your wife. Don't get too busy for your friends. Don't get too busy for your mate. It is very, very important. Now, Brenda and I, we've got a great marriage. But we have more than a relationship. We have rich fellowship. It is the will of God for you to enjoy your marriage. And it is the will of God for you to enjoy your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Amen. You know, it's possible to be married but be emotionally distant. It's possible to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and thoroughly know that you're saved and be emotionally distant. Some of you get that way in church. What's wrong with some of you? You need to raise your hands. I just heard the organ, but I'm not taking it back. You see, closeness in a marriage and closeness with the Lord requires intentional pursuit. God is not content with us having a legal relationship with him. He desires shared moments. He desires open conversations and mutual delight. So your relationship it happens at the new birth. But fellowship grows as we spend time in His presence and listen to His word and commune with Him. And you know what? You've done really good this morning. But you know what? At about 11:40, you'll be on your way home. Don't let His presence slip. Don't let that turning away from distractions and turning to Him slip. Purpose in your heart that you're going to have an ongoing conversation and fellowship with the Lord. And that just does not happen during your devotional time. How many of you know you can talk to Him on your way home? You can worship Him in the kitchen when you're doing dishes for the bishop. That went over like a lead balloon. No. You don't have to be on your knees to enjoy this kind of fellowship. Oh, thank you, God, for His word. Amen. In Philippians 3, verse 20, let's look over there. He said, my determined purposes. This was Paul's ultimate purpose in life. That I may know Him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. Now, when you know Him, resurrection power shall automatically flow. One person said it this way, that power is the outflow of the one you know. Amen. Say that with me. Power. Resurrection power. It is the outflow of the one I know. And so He hungers for fellowship with us. He enjoys our company. John described life eternal in John 17, verse 3. I want you to read it with me. Ready, read, please. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So fellowship is really the heart of faith. Faith is not just believing facts about God. Faith is walking with God daily. It's sharing life with God. It's sharing His thoughts, His ways, His presence. Say this with me. Faith is a fellowship with God. And we should never, ever treat faith like some sort of a transaction. Now, I know the laws of faith. Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. John 16 says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. John 15, 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But we don't just want to go to the Father in the name of Jesus when we have need of something. We don't want to just go to Him because, you know, something is going on in our life and we need help. Now, we should do that, but it should never be out of need. It should be done out of rich fellowship with Him. You see, John 15, 7 says, if you abide in me, that's the first step. Amen. Abiding in Him is living in union and in communion with Him. Amen. Amen. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you're going to ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So you need to watch out for looking at your faith as just some sort of a spiritual transaction. Amen. It comes out of rich fellowship with Him. Fellowship always comes first. It always comes first. And when you cover that base, here's what will happen. Fellowship will fuel you. It'll fuel your spiritual clarity. How many of you need some spiritual clarity on some things? things maybe been a little bit foggy and you don't know exactly what to do, fellowship with Him spreads the clouds. And what it does, it opens up the eyes of your understanding to be able to see things from His perspective. Amen. Oftentimes we look at things from our perspective. We look at things down here. But remind you that God raised you up. And when He raised you up, and when you fellowship with Him, you'll be able to see clearly. It will fuel spiritual clarity. It will fuel right perspective. It will also fuel your strength for everyday living. Amen. Now, one way, not the only way, that we fellowship with Him is we fellowship with Him through His Word. You know, in Luke chapter 10, in verses 38 through 42, this is the story of Mary and Martha. We look at this in verse 10. Or verse 38, it says, "Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered in a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed Him into her house." Next verse. "And she had a sister named Mary," notice this, "who seated herself at the Lord's feet." In other words, she was preparing her heart to receive something from the Master. But it required her to seat herself. She had to position herself to hear from Jesus. And just as Mary had to position herself to hear from Him, we need to position ourselves as well. So we see she seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to His teaching or listening to His Word. Verse 40. "But Martha, overly occupied," and what?
Too busy.
She was just too busy. And as a result of her being too busy, she was distracted with much serving. And she came up to Him and said, can you imagine this? "Lord, is it nothing to You that my sister has left me alone to serve You?"
Wow.
That's dangerous ground right there. And then she's going to try to tell Jesus what to do. That's a bad idea. Amen. Never try to tell Jesus what to do. Rejoice in what He has done.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Tell her to help me, to lend a hand, and do her part with me. Next verse. "But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, Martha." You know, when you get your name used twice, you better heed what He's saying. Anybody ever had that happen? Mark, what is it? "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled," not just about this, but it says you're anxious and troubled about many things. Next verse, verse 42. "There is need of only one thing," or but a few things. Now notice this, "but Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her." You can't take away what God deposits in you on the inside when you sit at His feet and listen to His Word. Oh yeah, the devil will try. But oh, thank God, you'll be able to rise up, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will have to run from you as in terror. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus said, there's only one thing that is needful. Of the many things in life, don't miss the essential primary thing. Him first. His Word first. And when that happens in your life, you will discover that the other things will just have to line up. So fellowship then, it includes, but not limited to, fellowshipping with His Word.
Amen.
I love this statement. We feed on His Word to know Him. Say that with me.
I feed
on Your Word
to know You.
To know Your will.
And
to know Your plan for my life. God's Word is God speaking directly to you. That means you're important to Him. Amen? He's no respecter of persons. He wants to speak to everyone. That's why He gave us His Word. Now, what you can do, because this is true, is you can open your Bible and you can bring His Word before Him and let Him talk to you. Bring His Word before Him. How do I do that? Well, for example, if I'm meditating on Psalm 23, I read in the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And you can talk to Him. You're bringing to Him His Word. And you can say something like this, "Lord, You're my shepherd.
Amen. Yes.
You are my good shepherd. You gave Your life for me. And I always hear the voice of my good shepherd. And Lord, I've just determined in my heart that the voice of a stranger I will not give place to. The voice of a stranger I will not follow." Bring His Word to Him. Another example would be Matthew 8:17. How many of you have ever had to stand against sickness and disease? Well, I think that's probably 100% of us. That's why it's so important that we become familiar with the Word of God concerning healing. And only one scripture we'll look at is Matthew 8:17, where it says, Himself, Jesus, You Yourself, You Yourself, all by Yourself. Woo, glory to God. You took my infirmities. You bore my sicknesses. And I just here today, I bring You Your Word, and I just want to thank You. I said, I just want to thank You, Lord. I want to give You praise, Lord. I want to thank You that You've sustained me all these years, and You will sustain me all the way to the finish line. I just want to thank You that You are the great physician. You are my healer. That's fellowship. You talk about atmospheres changing. The atmosphere will change in your home. The atmosphere will change in your thinking. Whoo! Bring His Word to Him. Remind Him of what He said. And in the reminding of Him, thank Him and give Him praise. Whatever your need might be, there is a scripture that covers your need. Hallelujah. So we feed on His Word to know Him. How many of you can testify this morning that when you've had just a wonderful time with the Word and meditation and dwelling and praise and worship, that things changed? I mean, man, your day all of a sudden got a little brighter. You went outside and the sky got a little bluer. Your yard looked a little greener. The blackbird seemed a little quieter. Amen. Oh, life is good. And there's life in this Word. They are life unto those that find them. And they are healing and medicine to all of your flesh. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." And what else are they? Oh, there's life in the Word. Now, I want to work with this scripture for a moment. Look at Psalms 43. Psalms 43. Everyone say koinonia.
Koinonia.
Psalms 43, verse 3. And we're going to look at this particular verse in the Amplified Classic Version. Notice this with me. It says, "Oh, send out Your light and truth." Well, God is light and His Word is light. And the entrance of His Word giveth light. So He's saying, "Oh Lord, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. Lead me where? Understand, this is Old Testament. Let them bring me to your holy hill. We don't have to go to the holy hill. His presence is in us. His presence is among us. But we're praying, Lord, let your truth, your light, lead me. Let it bring me into your presence, into your sweet dwelling place. Oh, come on, somebody. Let your truth bring me into the secret place of the Most High. So what is this saying? This saying that his word leads us right into his presence. And it leads us right to him. I want to encourage you. I will urge you to get out of the religiosity of checking boxes. What do you mean, checking boxes? Well, I read my 3 chapters today. I made my faith confessions. I paid for my president. I hope you're pleased. No. I went to church today. I put a nickel in the offering. I hope you're pleased. That's dead religion. Start enjoying your time with him. Not out of legalism. You know, there used to be a lot of emphasis on could you pray 1 hour? And I believe it's good to pray 1 hour, but we can pray longer than 1 hour. We can fellowship with him all day long without being religious. I think a lot of people burn themselves out by coming to church at 6 a.m. and praying for 1 hour. We used to see people fall out on the front row during that hour of prayer. Not a lot being accomplished. What's your point, Pastor? I don't know what my point is. My point is stop checking the boxes and start enjoying your time with him. Now look at the Passion Translation of this. This is awesome. Then I will come closer to your very altar until I come before you, the God of my, what kind of joy? Ooh, glory to God. I get happy just thinking about that. Until I come before you, the God of my ecstatic joy. God wants you to have the joy of fellowship. The joy of being in church. And he says, I'm going to praise you with the harp that plays in my heart to you. My God, my magnificent God. So is he not the joy of our life? Yes. And so God's word leads. God's word guides into his presence. But God's word leads us and guides us also into making the right decisions. Amen. Notice with me over in Psalms 119 verses 105 in the Amplified Version. And I want you to say this boldly. Declare it with me. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And it is a light to my path. Notice the Passion Translation. It says here, truth's shining light guides me in my choices. Truth's shining light. It guides me in my choices. Not that verse. Psalms 119, 105, Passion. That's all right. Let's read it together while we have it. Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. Amen. Fellowship is the secret to spirit-led living. Amen. Fellowship with him makes obeying him natural, not forced. The more time I spend with him and you spend with him, the more your decisions will flow from his word by the Holy Ghost. So before making a big decision, pause and check. Do you sense the presence of God on that? You know, Moses said to the Lord, he said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm just flat not going. Isn't that a good principle to live by? If God's presence isn't on this, I don't want to have anything to do with it. We only want his presence. Because you will discover that in his presence is his perfect will. It is his perfect plan for our lives. Brother Hagin was asked this question many years ago. What are the keys to the success of your ministry? And without thinking, of course, he said this many times. He said, number one, always give place, first place, to the Word of God. In other words, make His Word your final authority. And then, not only give it place, but in addition to giving it place, act on it. Now, how would that be illustrated today? Well, for example, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all of your, what? Care upon Him. Right? Because He cares for you. Now, once you have done that, once you have rolled all your cares on Him, you need to go from that place acting carefree. Acting carefree. One of the things that I say on a regular basis, I don't have a care. I'm not careful for anything. I am faith-filled and fear-free. I don't have a care. So if I'm going to act on the Word of God that says I'm carefree, I can't talk about all the challenges I'm facing. I can't go to bed at night tossing and turning and thinking about all the what-ifs.
Amen. That's right.
Because in the what-ifs, you will always see a picture of the worst-case scenario. And God's Word never paints a picture of doom and failure. He never paints a picture of the worst-case scenario. He always paints a picture of victory. He always paints a picture of you having more than enough. He'll never paint a picture for you dying prematurely, but He will paint a picture in you on the inside, glory to God, of you living long and living strong. That's the kind of pictures that He paints. And those are the kinds of things you need to capture in your imagination. When we've talked about imaginations, oftentimes we just talked about casting down the wrong ones. How about girding up our hearts and minds with the right ones? You see, the Bible says He will keep us in perfect what?
Peace.
In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. I learned from Andrew Womack this week that the word mind there means imagination. It means imagination in parenthesis purpose. So there's a keeping in your life of perfect peace if you will conceive and keep your imagination on Him. That requires thinking the thoughts of God. That requires seeing yourself healed. That requires seeing yourself debt free. That requires seeing your loved ones born again. Take time to imagine. And when you imagine, Andrew Womack said, you will conceive it. And when you conceive it, you certainly can't achieve it. Glory to God. Conception needs to take place in our hearts and in our thought life. Don't just sit there and allow your thoughts to be random. Fix your heart and your eyes and your attention on Him. Stop considering the circumstances and consider Jesus, who's the high priest of your confession. Glory to God. We're getting somewhere today. Oh, glory to God. I see me healed. I see me healed. I don't care what they might say. I see me healed. I don't care what they say about this place. I see us debt free. I see us going from owing to owning. Is that right? How about you in your house? How about you in your life? Are you going from owing to owning? One of the greatest blessings of Abraham's blessings is land. Land gives you influence. This house, this land gives us influence in this community. And I'm not about to let the devil rob it from us. I'm going to do what somebody else did when they tried to assassinate him. I'm going to fight, fight, fight. The devil wants a tussle. A tussle he'll have. Amen. I'll keep you in perfect peace. That's my part. You just keep your mind and your imagination set on me, and conception will take place. Now, in the area of conception, we know for a man and a wife, it takes 9 months. And so if you have not seen yet the things that you've conceived in your heart and your mind, don't give up. That's where a lot of people miss their blessing. They give up and they let go. Raise a hand toward heaven and say, but I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. Man, there's a lot in here today. How many of you got a few more minutes? Well, that's not all of you, but I'll take the majority. Amen. Glory to God. So Dan Hagen answered immediately. He said, the key and keys to my success, number one, is I've made God's word my final authority. And then I've chosen to act on it. How many of you want to know what number two is? He said, the second thing that is the key to the success of my ministry is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Or praying in other tongues. And then he said, just like you act on the word that you've made final authority, you need to act on the promptings and the directions that you get while you're praying in the Spirit. Okay, amen. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Unbroken fellowship with Him is a key. Here's how the Lord said it to me. Unbroken fellowship is a key to hearing from me. Say that with me. Unbroken fellowship is a key to hearing from me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men. Amen? But unto who? If man gives you a problem about it, just say, hey, I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking to God. Now notice, for no man understandeth him, however, in the Spirit. I say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
When you're praying in tongues and fellowshipping with him and communing with him, you're in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. For no man understandeth him, however, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, that word mysteries there literally means divine secrets. Now, there are times as you're speaking in tongues that God chooses to unveil and to reveal to you what those divine secrets are. Amen. Oftentimes in the area of direction. Amen. So he said, put the word first place, pray in the Spirit, and act on it. Now, look over at Jude 20. And notice verse 20 and 21. Say it with me, koinonia.
Koinonia.
Fellowship with him.
Fellowship with
Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, that's talking to you. Build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress. We'll get back to that in a moment. Say it with me twice. Make progress. One more time. Make progress.
Hallelujah.
Devil comes along and says, what in the world are you doing? I'm making progress. And I wasn't talking to you. Make progress. Rise like an edifice or a building, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now read verse 21 with me if you would. Guard and keep yourself in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you into life eternal. Now back to the thought, we're making progress. And here's what the Lord showed me about that. This type of communion with Him. This type of worship with Him. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding.
Amen.
I will sing with the Spirit.
Yes.
And I will sing with the understanding also. The Lord made this very clear to me. When you are communing with God at that level, you are making progress in the presence of God. You are making progress in His dwelling place. But not only that. When you commune with Him at that level, you are not only making progress in His presence, but you are also making progress in your love walk. And I need a little progress there. Can anyone testify that maybe you might need a little help in your love walk? So as you pray in the Spirit, you become conscious and aware of the presence of God. And according to verse 21, you will keep yourself in the love of God.
Amen.
And the Lord showed me keeping yourself in the love of God is twofold. It's love for others, but it's also love for God. And if you are kept in the love of God for others, you are not going to stumble, you're not going to fall, and you're not going to fail. Because the love of God on the inside of you never fails. But not only are you keeping yourself in His presence and keeping yourself in the love of God for others, you all also are increasing in the love for God Himself. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. How many of you remember in the book of Genesis where God walked in the cool of the day with His man Adam and of course Eve, and they had rich fellowship together? And then you all know that Adam missed it. They ate of the forbidden fruit. And all of a sudden that rich fellowship and that rich companionship was broken. And God certainly knew it, but I want us to pick it up in Genesis, if you will. Chapters 3, verses 7 through 10, it says this. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. They had no idea they were naked before. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were covering themselves. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. And I believe the Lord is calling unto some of you here this morning. And the question is, where art thou? Where are you? And he said, well, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Listen, Adam's first instinct after sin was to hide himself from God's presence. And that same instinct still shows up today when people draw themselves away from fellowship with Him. Where are you? Let me tell you something. You can't hide from Him. all things are open to the eyes with whom we have to do. Even when we try to hide, he still seeks us out. And there are different ways that people hide from God in fellowship. Number one, shame and guilt. Just like Adam, they withdrew themselves because they feel unworthy. They feel like they can't connect with God. I want to tell you something today. You are worthy. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses you from all unrighteousness and gives you a full assurance to draw nigh to Him and not run from Him. So don't let shame and guilt be that which hides you from the presence of God. You see, He never comes to bring condemnation. He always comes to bring reconciliation. And then we looked at it earlier. How about this? Busyness and distraction. You see, I believe that instead of fig leaves, today's coverings are schedules. Today's coverings are phones. Today's coverings are entertainment. What happens is people fill their time so they don't have to face God in silence. Psalm 46:10 is still true. Be still and know that I am God. I'm not here pointing fingers at anyone, but I want to exhort you this morning. Don't be hidden in the busyness of life. He wants to talk to you. And then another reason why people hide is because they've been wounded. They've been disappointed. Past hurts. Unanswered prayers. How about this? Church wounds that cause people to pull back. So their fig leaves are bitterness for self-protection. How many of you know that Jesus, everyone say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is still the healer of the broken in heart. Come on. Whatever wounds, whatever disappointments you have faced, God is bigger than that. You didn't shout loud enough. I said, God is bigger than that.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Don't allow a past church experience keep you out of church. Well, I just don't like the way they do this. You're not going to like everything about any church. You're not going to love everything about this church. The main thing is you need to love God and get rid of those fig leaves and come on up into His presence and let God be God in your life. He's the healer of those that have been broken at heart. So he says, well, I prayed and I didn't get an answer. You got the answer all right. You didn't wait long enough for it to manifest. You stopped conceiving. Oh, man, we're getting somewhere here today. Woo, thank you, Lord. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. And He saveth those that be of a contrite spirit. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've covered a lot of ground today. I just trust that the seed that has gone forth will flourish in the hearts of these men and these women. Lord, we know it is Your plan for every one of us to draw near to You. The psalmist said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. The scripture says, as the deer panteth for the waters. Come on. So my soul, it longs after You. Do you have a longing for Him? Do you have a desire to come on in? Do you have a desire to come up higher. I believe that it is each and every one of your desires who've been listening to these messages on Koinonia to come closer to Him. And so I'm asking right now, as you all stand to your feet, I'm asking every person in the house today that says, Pastor Mark, that's me. That's me. I have a desire. I have a God-given desire. And I'm going to ask anyone and everyone that has that desire to pray a prayer of dedication with me today. Are you ready for that? I'm going to invite all of you who want to do that to come to the altar. Amen? Come on, guys. Should be the whole church. Come on. Just come on. Just fill the aisles up. Glory to God. You don't want to miss out on this prayer. You don't want to miss out on this prayer. Woo, glory to God. Just come on. Come on. And as you come, what you're saying to the Lord is, I'm drawing near to you. Hallelujah. I'm drawing close to my Heavenly Father. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Glory to God. Just keep coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as you come, that should be all of you today. This will seal up what's been taught the past few Sundays. Amen. Make your way to the front. And if you're not able to come to the front for some reason, just place a hand over your heart right now. And let's all say this together. Jesus,
Jesus,
you're the Son of the Living God. And I call you my Lord. And I call you my Savior. I'm going to lead you in this prayer of dedication. So put your hand over your heart and close your eyes if it's comfortable and pray this with me. I come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. My heart's desire is to have a deeper relationship and fellowship with you. I dedicate myself today to draw near to you. My determined purpose in life is to know you. I desire to become progressively and more deeply acquainted with you. I ask of one thing, Lord, and I declare that I will seek. I will dwell in your house and in your presence all the days of my life. Let's take a praise break right now. Glory to God. Amen. Let's continue for a couple more moments. Hands over heart. I want to be held of you and think about you and inquire of you. You said in your word, seek my face and require my presence. And my heart answers back to you. I will seek your face. I will require your presence. Say it strong. You are my God. You are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh desires you. As in a dry land. My passion is to see you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory. My soul clings to you. My whole being follows after you. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. I have no desire on earth but you. I will seek you with my whole heart. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire. And I belong to worship you. You alone are my strength. You are my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone. You're my heart's desire. And I long to worship you. Let us sing together with hands raised toward the Lord.
You.